The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We want to work on that, aren't we? And also with you. It's good to see each of you this morning. I'm thrilled to be here, as I always am at this point, after being from three different places and back to here this morning. So thank you for being part of our worship time. Let us bow together for our invocation. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ walk with us and give us strength. In the power of that Spirit, let us understand the moving of God's Spirit upon us as we worship. On this Christ the King Sunday, as we come to the end of the year, and as we celebrate the Christian year that is past, and as we look forward to the Christian year that comes with the first Sunday of Advent next week, allow us to be totally and completely in the Spirit of God as we walk this path. Love us in ways that we cannot imagine. Worship with us today in ways that we pray for. And let us be touched by the Spirit and moved by God. And we offer this prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Please stand with us as we turn to number 92, For the Beauty of the Earth.
So now we've got more kids running around than mine. Cynthia is Val. This is Cynthia Poteet. I still want to call her Cynthia Tabor. She's still mine, no matter what her husband says. And so she's with us this morning with our three grandbabies that she brings. They are active. We don't have any active children in this church. Amen. Hey, Ellie. So y'all ought to be right at home. Amen. And so, in fact, Ellie's quiet compared to them. So we'll be good this morning. We'd ask that you would spend time with us in sharing together our prayers and our concerns. So if you have any prayers or concerns you would lift up, We'd ask that you would lift them up at this time. Two more grand. How many did you say now? So y'all got to get busy and have one more, so the baker's dozen will be there, right? Amen. That's not me and y'all's choice. Well, congratulations on the grandkids. I have four. I think I'll stay with that. Let's stay there. Amen. Four. Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure. Okay. And so. Anybody else, Georgia, concerns? We're glad our Pleasant Hill folks are with you. If y'all, God bless you. You listened to this sermon already once. I'll try to change it a little bit, okay, just to make it better for y'all, and so you won't have to listen to it again. But thank you for being part of this with us this morning and traveling. Now you know what I do, except I drop Marilyn off at 30 miles an hour and head over to Chevron. So anybody else?
Master.
I hear a voice. There you go. There.
Let's surely remember our military personnel that are away from home.
Amen.
I know it's a tough time for them. And there are some folks here that they're not going to be able to be together for some reason. So let's pray for those that they can make it through Thanksgiving and enjoy the time.
Okay, so we'll do that. But just between me and you.
Uh-oh.
Is there anything else we need to be announcing?
Yes,
okay.
So you want me to announce?
You don't think I'm going to do it, do you?
So, I'm going to stand up.
Yeah, you want to come over here to the microphone where everybody can hear you good?
Can you hear me? Unfortunately, everybody says they can hear me.
Yeah, well, use your preacher's voice. I've heard you have one, even though, you know.
I'm going to
go for it. All right, so.
December 17th will be a wedding. Mary Jolly and I are getting married.
Oh, yeah.
We made it through our time with the pastor. He said it was okay. And so we are getting married. You're invited. It's at 4:00 here at the church. And we'd appreciate your prayers. The stress of everything that's going on is in both our lives right now, between marriage and Thanksgiving and Christmas and just things.
Stress?
But I'm laughing about it.
Stress? You know? I don't have any stress. yeah, we did make it through and had a good time.
Yes, we had
Mary?
A good time.
Do we have a good time?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I wanted to do that before I forgot and really got in trouble. Anybody else?
Over here.
Tyler.
Oh, hey, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. My stepson, Michael Featherston, is in a bad way. He got cat scratch fever, and it settled in his vertebrae.
Mm.
And in L4 and L5. And he needs a fusion on both those vertebrae, but they can't do the surgery until his infection is cleared up. So he's in bad pain. He can hardly walk or get out of the bed some days. So if we could remember him in prayer.
So we're praying for the infection to clear first.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Wanda, did I forget anything else?
No, because I've got an unspoken.
Okay, unspoken request. Anybody else with an unspoken request?
Right here.
Amen. All right, well, let us pray together. Silent prayer first, and then the pastoral prayer and the Lord's prayer. Let us be in prayer at this time. You're invited to the altar if God leads you to do so. I'm afraid to touch it. Let us pray together. It is in the beauty of the earth that we come to this time to praise with each other and to sing with each other. It is in the beauty of the earth that we come and we bow together to give thanks to God, to give thanks to the way you have given us life and everlasting life. We enjoy the footsteps of children. We enjoy the way you allow us to have freedom to worship, and how much you enjoy the footsteps of your children, that is us, as we pray to you and as we come to you in all that we are. We've heard the request today, both from the praises of grandbabies and the thrill of having new marriage with family coming together. We have heard the prayers for those who struggle because of different diseases, those who need healing from infections, and for those who need healing from the infection of the spirit that keeps us from coming close to you. We hear you move in us, and we hear you laugh with us, cry with us, and rejoice with us. And on this Christ the King Sunday, we offer ourselves to you in the fullness of this day. May your love and your grace overwhelm us, and may we find peace in our soul through the healing that we have prayed for. Now love each person that we ask prayer for and heal them as only you can. And we offer this prayer through the one who taught his apostles to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Please stand with us as we sing "Come You Thankful People Come." It's hymn number 694, or as you all see, the words are on the screen.
Take the hardest toll from
seated. We'd ask our ushers to come forward, please. So how long did you work on this again? 35, 40 hours? Okay. It's none of my business. That's why I asked. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We ask you, O Lord, that you would grant us a gift of giving, a gift of love, and a gift of grace that only you can give. May your power overwhelm us in the gift that we have of your Son, Jesus Christ, and may it change who we are and how we respond to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. As the choir comes down, we'd like you to turn to Luke 16, beginning with verse 19 and reading through verse 32. Let us stand together for the reading of God's holy word. Luke 16, 19 through 32. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted scrumptiously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus covered with sores who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us is a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers that he may warn them, so they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither would they be convinced, even as someone rises from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray together. And now, in the power of the Holy Spirit, with an openness to hearing God speak, let us hear God's word from his scriptures, and let us be changed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So let me share with you before we start the sermon that we will be on page 39 in your United Methodist hymn book. It's Baptismal Covenant 2, and as if I can corral my grandbabies, I'm going to try to have baptism. I'd say we're at 50-50 at best. And so we'll see how that unfolds. Cindy came from Florida for this moment, so we're going to do our best to make this work. Amen. We'll see how it goes. All right. The rich man and Lazarus. I want you to think about this for me, if you can, on how this unfolds. The rich man has everything. You see the comment about the purple linen. You see the comment about he's eating scrumptiously. And y'all about to do that, by the way, eat scrumptiously here in a few minutes. And I know that dessert will be great because I've always tasted one bite of one of them. And so that came home with me from the other church, from Chevron. And so I wasn't supposed to eat a bite of it, but I had a fork in the car, so it worked out real well. And so we're going to have this great meal, and we should celebrate Thanksgiving or Friendsgiving today. But the rich man was in this wonderful place. He even had a gated community. Any of y'all live in gated communities? Y'all have that? Y'all live in gated community. I want you to picture your gated community, except the gate surrounds only one house, yours. There is no other houses in the gated community, so it's a single home gated. And so he's got his gate, he's got everything set aside, he's got his beautiful home. And every day he walks by or is carried by or rides by Lazarus, who sits on the ground, we suppose, and he is dirty, he is filthy, and he is covered in sores. And he asked for the scraps from the table of the rich man. He's not asking for the meal itself. He's not asking for anything fabulous from the meal. He just wants the scraps. It would remind you of the woman that Jesus talks about who comes to him and wants to have someone healed. And he says to him, it's not time for you. I've come to the children of Israel. And she says, well, even the dogs eat the scraps from the master's table. And Jesus looks at her and says, I have not seen such great faith even in Israel. And he does the healing. Well, the dogs too have a different purpose. Their purpose is to lick the wounds or the sores of Lazarus. And in licking the sores, the goal is that the saliva from their tongue would actually heal or help heal the infection of the sores in his body. And it was a way for him to have comfort in that time because no one who passed by him would give him any of that comfort. So that is the way this is unfolded, and that's the scene you have set before you. In front of the gate, he passes by him every day. And you think about that, I don't know how, I haven't seen much of this here, although I'm sure it probably occurs, but in Knoxville, it seems like every exit I get off, I got somebody with a sign that says, we'll work for food, or am hungry, please give money, or something like that. And I'm always torn. Part of me wants to reach for the money and hand it to them. And a part of me goes, I hear all those wonderful stories of people who make $200,000 a year collecting money on the side of the road. And they've made it into a full business and they hide their Lexus out behind the other thing because they've made a living out of doing this. And yet, I don't want anybody to go hungry. I don't want anybody to not have a roof over their head. And so I'm dealing with those issues in my own soul, trying to figure out what's the way I go about this. How can I help him and not do too much or do the wrong thing? And I don't give money hardly to anybody because I don't know what they're going to buy with it. And I got all those things running through my brain. And every time I don't do it, I see Lazarus there with the sores. And every time I do it, I see them doing something with it they shouldn't be doing. And I constantly say to myself, that's not my issue. That's their issue with God. And so you had all those things wrapped in this, in our current setting. The one major difference here is, though, is that the rich man has the ability, if he so desired, to stop and talk to Lazarus. He sees him every day. He's at his own gate. He's chosen his house. And I'm sure the rich man is thrilled beyond words that his house got chosen by Lazarus. And yet he's there, and that's his setting. So they both die. Lazarus dies and goes to Abraham. Some scriptures call it Abraham's bosom, depending on which reading you have in front of you. Lazarus dies when he goes to the rich man. The rich man dies and is buried. Notice Lazarus doesn't even get a burial. He just dies. Now here's what this means, if you want to walk through the time that this is being written. What this means is that Lazarus was taken to the edge of town. You'll remember when Jesus was prophesying in his own town and he couldn't get anything done and they did not like what he said. They drove him to the edge of a cliff to knock him off. Well, at the end of every town at that time, there was a place that they put a fire and they burnt their trash. It was coincidentally called Hades. And that's where they would throw everything in. The fire never went out. Everything burnt. Everything continued to be burnt up. And those who could not afford a place to be buried, even in the paupers' graves, would be thrown over there, and that's where their bodies would be cremated. That is the edge of town for them. So that's the setting. When you hear the term now coming up, rich man's buried. Can you imagine the funeral? What a great funeral that must have been. Wonder how much they paid for the mourners. Remember, they was professional mourners of that time. And he's buried, and there's people who mourn for his death. And Lazarus simply dies. And then the scene changes. In Hades, a lot of people want to translate this hail, and you can if you want to. But in Hades, definitively known by the people of that time, the rich man who should never end up in a place like that is in torment. And it never ends because the fire didn't go out. And in Abraham's bosom, or Abraham is Lazarus, and there's a conversation about to happen. In that conversation, the rich man calls out to Father Abraham, and he still sees him as Father Abraham. He still sees the lineage of the kingdom of God in Father Abraham, and he sees him and he says to him, Father Abraham, may I have one drop of water. Now that's not a lot of water, even though I got more than one drop. That's not a lot of water, is it? So that it can be cooled. I can have my thirst quenched by that one drop. Father Abraham says, no. There's a chasm between me and you, between us, and no one can come and go between the chasm. But if you notice in this conversation, they can't go back and forth, but they can have conversation. Now, see, I can't picture heaven being a place that I can have conversation with my family members who are in torment. Do you? Think of the process of this as how this conversation goes. And in the midst of it, asking for the water, and he finds out he can't get it, he asks for Lazarus. Notice the interesting part of this as Jesus unfolds the parable. He asked for Lazarus to go to his brothers and see them, because if a dead person raises from the dead, person raises from the dead and goes to them, they're surely going to pay attention. Amen? We didn't. Jesus is raised from the dead. How's the world done with that? The answer is, well, they have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them. And the world has us. Y'all are the prophets now. Y'all are the Moseses and the Sarahs. Y'all are the ones who lead the world into knowing Christ. It's you that does that. Y'all are those folks. The world has us. How's that going? Think of the process of how this unfolds and how it changes us and how it moves us in this time. So we've had somebody raised from the dead. His name is Jesus. We've had the prophets. We've had the preachers. We've had the priests. We've had the teachers. We've had the saints of God that Israel well looked at just a few Sundays ago on All Saints Sunday. We've done all those things and all looked at all those people that come to us, and the world continues to not pay attention. Even if somebody was raised from the dead, your brothers will not listen. They have their answer in front of them. Now, I chose this scripture, one, because we were doing parables, but secondly, and I think more importantly, this is Christ the King Sunday. Y'all are at the end of the church year. Next Sunday morning at all the churches, I will greet y'all with Happy New Year, and you all look at me like I've lost my mind, because January 1st is Happy New Year, right? So think of the process. We look at that because we have started the new church year next Sunday. We're in Advent. Now, Pleasant Hill folk cannot answer this question. Y'all have to sit there and be quiet now. They've heard this question. After Advent comes what? Christmas Day, right? What's it called in the church? There's a specific name for that day and the week afterwards called Christmastide. All right. Now, y'all know the song that goes with it. You ready? You got the song? You prepared? So I'm going to have to sing it, right? Okay. On the first day of Christmas. You get, remember that song? My true love gave to me. Oh, that was weak. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. Okay, here's your church history in a nutshell, real quick. January 6th originally was, trying to not have an injury, January 6th originally was what day? Christmas. Christmas Day was on January 6th for over 800 years. From the time we began seeing Christmas Day till Pope, I looked this up in my mind on my phone actually on the way over, Pope Anthony the Eighth, there's a Pope we all remember, changed it from January 6th to December 25th. Hence, the 12 days Christmas came into effect because the Eastern Orthodox Church still celebrates Christmas on January 6th. Now, are either one of those the day Jesus was born on? I'm sorry, I'm going to really mess up your theology. Probably not. How do we know that? The shepherds are keeping watch by night in the field. You know, most of the time, they didn't do that in the winter. They had them in the barn, or gathered in the corral. So think of the process of this. It's just a simple thought, but it doesn't matter. The essence of this is we're celebrating the birth of Christ. Amen? So we come to this, and we're celebrating the birth of the one who's going to die and give us everlasting life and be raised from the dead, the one that he was prophesying both that Lazarus would not be paid attention to, and they will not pay attention to him because they wanted him dead. In fact, they so didn't pay attention to him, they made up a lie that he was hid and really didn't raise from the dead. That is the process of how we've gotten here. So you are at the prefaces of worshiping the Christ who died for you and rose again and celebrating the year that is come and gone, and you're at the prefaces of beginning a new year with a go. Now, what's the church's go the new year? The church's go is to witness to people through our lives. We all think we need a program to win people to Christ. Let's find a program. If I could write a program that would win people to Christ, I would so be rich. And there have been a bunch of books written, and a lot of people are rich from writing books. And every time I look at that, and there's nothing against writing books, but every time I read books, I find out that they're writing about something we already know, tells us how to do something that we already know about, and trying to make it look different than what it actually is. How do we witness to people? Now I'm going to share this with you, and I want you to watch with me and stay with me for this. We share this with people by living our lives in front of people. That's what we do. Do you live your life in front of people like a Christian? People don't really care what you know. They want to know that you care. People really don't care how many books you've read. They want to know that the book they're reading that is your life is a book that is written by Jesus Christ through your life. That's how we understand that. That's how we grapple with that. That's how we are changed through that. So the rich man, he's got a problem. Unless something changes in his brother's life, guess what's about to happen? Five more brothers are coming to visit him in Hades. And if you think about that, isn't that what this is all about anyway? It's not about church numbers, although any of us in our right mind would really like to see all of our churches filled to the brim with people to the point we had to add services because we didn't have enough space for them. But it really isn't about that. It's really about not the offering. Now, that doesn't mean we wouldn't take your money. Because for my treasures in this building, would we not take your money? Amen? It's about lives that have been changed. And I promise you something, if we truly believe and what Jesus does, lives that change will take care of everything else. It will change who we are if we see lives being changed in our church and in our lives. It's going to be interesting come lunch today. I've wanted all three churches together in some form or fashion since I took over the charge. That truly isn't a charge, but it is a charge. Y'all work through that and let me know how it turns out. Because all three churches are so radically different and so much the same. Different spaces, different ways of worshiping. Frankly, I think if I showed up at Pleasant Hill in a robe, y'all might pass. They're saying no. I'm going to try it now. Christmas Eve's open now. Watch out. Here we come. Marilyn's always afraid I'll have a wreck because I have a tendency to drive from one church to another in my robe. And she's afraid I'm going to get pulled over by the police in my robe with everything on. The police look down at me and go, what party are you going to? And so she's always afraid of that, but because I did that for years. Think about it. We all have the same goal, don't we? I've never understood wanting one of our brothers and sister churches to not do well so that we can. If we're all worshiping Jesus, don't we want the First Baptist to have 5,000 people and 2,000 get saved so that we can do the same? Don't we want us to be together in ministry? Because it really is about people. It really is about the Lazarus and the rich men of the world, isn't it? I told Terry, she's always worried that Ellie bothers me. Always. You know how I know that? She has the grandmother look. You ever seen the grandmother look? She looks at Ellie, then she looks at me. And she looks at Ellie, then she looks at me. I told her that my three were coming, and Ellie would look calm. We haven't disappointed, have we? But please, oh Lord, give me 100 kids that disrupt everything I do. Than giving me no kids and it be quiet in church. Please, oh Lord. We can work through the rest of it. Can't we? And yes, this is the guy that when he gets along in his car and there's no family members there and it's quiet, I put on Gregorian chants and listen to them from one end of the state to the other. Why? Isn't Gregorian chants just the most beautiful music you've ever heard in your entire life? Amen. And everybody's going, why? Because I love to meditate in the quietness. Introverts do that so that we can be extroverted at the time we need to be. So it really is about everybody. Getting fed. And what do we feed them? The Word of God. It's what we do at communion. It's what we do, period. I'd invite you to turn to page 39. I've warned you about that earlier. This is baptismal covenant two for those who cannot answer by themselves. Now, you know by listening to my two this morning, they can really answer. But they're not ready yet to answer themselves on these questions. So it's these questions that are important today. So we'll be asking Mama these questions. She's ready. She remembers this from growing up in the parsonage. Let us join together as I read this for us to begin this time. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we're initiating to Christ's holy church. We're incorporating to God's mighty acts of salvation and giving new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. If you're visiting with us or from another denomination, let me say this to you. This is not salvation. This is incorporating into the family of God. We are making a statement that, one, we as the church will help raise children, maybe a little way from Florida to do that, but I'm going to trust that y'all will help Marilyn and I do that. It's also, though, saying that the family, to the best of their ability, are going to raise their children in church or in God's Word. We're making a statement of how we believe that, and we believe that God is present through the water, of baptism in the Holy Spirit this morning to help us at this time. So I'll ask Mary Lynn with her best voice that she has left. I went to the football game yesterday and she can't talk. Yes, it worked out well, didn't it? Mary Lynn, with your best voice, come and introduce both of your grandchildren that are being baptized. And if you want to go to a microphone, I would bet he would turn it on for you.
It is my honor to present Isabel Jade Poteet and Alexandria Hope Poteet for baptism.
Mama, I asked you to come forward with your children if they will come. If not, you can come by yourself at the moment, either way you want to do it. As I said, she's able to talk for herself. Cynthia, I asked you these questions. It's simple answers, I'll give them to you. Got to turn it this way. I can read it, Mama. Okay. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce your spiritual fortress of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If you do so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression, and whatever forms they present themselves? If you would do so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Post your hope. Alex, stay with me. Confess Jesus Christ your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. If you do so, say, I do.
I do.
Will you nurture both of these children as Christ's holy church, that they, by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess the faith openly, to lead to a Christian life? If you do, say, I will.
I will.
See if I can read to the congregation better than this. Do you, as Christ's body of the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news.
And live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for these that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in
God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ,
His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan and a land which you promised.
Sing to the Lord all the earth.
In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of the womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare
his works to the nations, his glory among all people.
Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless the gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sins and to clothe them in righteousness through their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in final victory. All praise
to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Cynthia, first and middle names, as if I don't know them, but first and middle names, give them to the church one more time of whoever's being baptized first. Come on, Izzy.
Isabel J.
Come on, Izzy. It's okay. Ready? Isabel Jade, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You did good. Yeah, I know. She is a shy one.
No.
Alex.
Alexandria Hope.
Okay, Alex. Alexandria Hope, I baptize you in the name of the Father. It's warm water. And of the Son. And of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of the best reactions I've ever had from my own children. I'll ask any of y'all who want to come and join us to come and lay hands on Cindy and our grandbabies and to let us pray together our final prayer of the baptism together as we bless them in their baptism. All who want to come forward, please feel free to do that. Well, just take that to be amens and go with it. And step down a little bit so they can. Is it okay? Let's step down right there. You go. That way they can put hands on you. All that can reach forward and put hands on them, please feel free to do that. I'll take that so you don't have to try to do both. The Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, who God gives life through water and through the baptism and of suffering death of Jesus Christ. In his name we give thanks. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Sounds like Tennessee fans. Anyway, yes, you can go be seated. For the one who cleans us to church, I apologize. Normally I have them stay up here, but since it's been a little loud, I'll do this next thing. Now is our joy to welcome our new sisters in Christ. Through baptism, they incorporate in the Holy Spirit to God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as members of the family of Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to you to love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. And I ask you to respond by saying, we give thanks for all that God has already given you. And we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ. In his holy congregation of the United Methodist Church, We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may glorify through Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not the quietest baptism you've ever been through, but thank you for letting us do it. Sing.
Let's sing. Let's stand and turn to hymn number 399, Take My Life and Let It Be.
So anybody hungry? Yeah. Well, we have food. I'm assuming there's food over there. We have food over in the fellowship hall. If not, I have a strawberry cheesecake in my refrigerator in the office that was really good. Just know that we have that, if nothing else. But we have food waiting for you in the fellowship hall, so we are ready to go there. So I want to have a prayer of dismissal and a blessing of the food. Again, thank you for allowing us as family to be in front of you. Now you know how I act when I get home every night. Amen? Is that right? No, they're not saying. Okay. Let's pray together. And now let us go in peace. May the joy, the love of Christ walk with us. We baptize with water. You baptize with fire. We initiate into the kingdom. You are the kingdom. We watch people at gates beg. You're the one that feeds. We see rich men go to Hades, and yet you have the way to get them to be in heaven. We walk our paths, and you walk with us. May we go in peace. Thank you for the food that we'll partake of, O Lord. May it give us strength. May the blessing of it be with us, and may your love walk with us in all that we do. We offer the service, what was said, what was sung, and all that we are in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May God's richest blessings be upon us. Amen. That's all you got, huh?
With the Lord.